Hey everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 363, the foggy edition here. Hopefully everybody out there is having a great start to your week. We're changing a couple things up, moving some things around. Hopefully it's going to provide a better podcast listening experience for you. We have a great show lined up for you today. Lots of cool and fun stuff to talk about. Not the smallest of which, I'm sure you've probably figured out, at least at this point in time. We've slightly changed the way that the show is actually going to be delivered from here on out. We're going to be, still same bat channel and all that, but just a slightly different bat time. We're actually going to be coming out every Monday and Thursday as opposed to every Sunday and Wednesday, but we're still going to be recording on those days. What we're going to be doing is actually taking out all the stuff and kind of simplifying it and saying that the show is going to be dropped at 12:30 on Monday and Thursday. So that way you will always know when the show is going to come out. So hopefully that's going to simplify a lot of things for everybody. It's been a kind of a crazy fun weekend here at the Caffeination Lair, because I was not at the Caffeination Lair for the majority of said weekend. I went to a wedding for one of my cousins, so to Carissa and Frank, I hope you have absolutely many happy years ahead of you, but it was nice. I mean, we went out, we stayed away from home, so it was a definitely a weird weekend, because by the time you got back and you got settled in and everything was all situated again, you kind of realized it was Sunday night and you still had to get up and get ready for work tomorrow. And tomorrow is a huge day for me. Tomorrow's the first day of the semester, so everything's it's all been building up to this, trying to get everything running because all the students are coming in. So we're going to see exactly how well everything's going to work out there. I have a good feeling. I think everything's just going to go swimming. So, I would like to just tell you a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is a fantastic piece of software that allows you to do a lot of different things, not the least of which is save a ton of money. For one low monthly price, which is $49 per month, you can hold unlimited meetings. You can save yourself all the time and expenses of having to travel to different locations just to press the flesh, just to have a meeting about a product or a service or anything, or even if you're just trying to get together to make sure everybody's on the same page. It's incredibly easy with GoToMeeting. You can sit there, you can pull up whatever documents you have to do. All the work that you're doing is from your computer, so you don't have to worry about plugins, you don't have to worry about installs. Your guests don't even have to sign in for the service themselves. They can just go to the URL that you provide and they are automatically in there. So no matter where they are, it's a seamless way to hold meetings for an incredibly low price. So I would like you to try your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting now. Just head on over to www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They're incredibly good to us. They've been a long-time sponsor here, and we cannot thank them enough for the faith that they showed in us. All right, so we're calling this the Foggy Edition because literally I feel like I'm still in that fog that I had on the last episode. So we're trying to get everything up and correct and together, but I don't know how it's actually going to turn out. We have the standard, or the rather now standard, three sections of the show here. We have the news and brief, the geek cruft section, the food and caffeinated bits. Now we're going to try and make sure everything gets all up and out, and we're going to, hopefully the news and brief is going to be getting briefier, so it'll come out a little bit quicker. But other than that, we have a lot of really fun and cool stuff to talk to you about today, and we're now going to get on into it. So news and brief up first, a fun little article from over at Tech Dirt actually said that yet another study shows that file sharers are buying more media. So the people that the record companies are accusing of actually stealing all the songs are actually the super users, as the case may be. They'll steal the low fidelity version of it, they'll love the song by whatever artist it is, then they'll actually go out and buy it, whether or not they're going to iTunes, if they're actually buying a real CD, if they're buying concert tickets, whatever, they actually spend more monies on the bands that they're stealing from than anybody else. I guess it's because people realize that once you can take in music as you need it, or once you can take in content like that as you need it, then, you know, it allows you to do different things. Now, that's not saying that people who support more fair and open copyright laws actually support file sharing. Almost nobody actually supports file sharing because it's a very tenuous position to actually be in. That which leads us to crazy, insane video called Rip a Remix. It's called Rip a Remix Manifesto. I talked about it a little bit on the last show. I've watched it in its entirety twice now, all the way through, and it is a really great great piece of evidence in its entirety for what a remix culture actually is. And it shows you a lot of examples from the past, which basically say that, you know, our culture has constantly built on the past. There are no new original ideas. All the ideas that are being thought of are just a collaboration. You're standing on the shoulders of giants, so to speak. Even the great and powerful Walt Disney himself, they actually show you direct visual evidence that he ripped off tons of other stories. I mean, a lot of the stories are, you know, just retellings of old things, so it's incredibly in bad form for the company itself after his passing to treat copyright the way that it does. And just a little bit of a thing for you to chew on before we go on into the rest of the show. When copyright was originally written into the American originally written into law early in America's history, it was only for 14 years. So that way you would have the sole purpose or sole rights to anything that you created for the first 14 years of its existence. So that way it would allow you to earn a living based on this. It has been increased to the life of the artist plus 70 years, and if it's something done by a corporation, it's actually 99 years beyond that. So it's insane exactly how long it is. And just think, anything that you wanted to do, if you wanted to do it completely within the public domain right now, you would have to use information that was put out there before 1923. So there you are, and here we go. All right, moving right on into the geek Sorry, one more thing in the news and brief. The untimely passing of DJ AM. I'm not a big person who goes by DJs. I mean, I like certain music and stuff like that, and I'll gladly listen to a little bit of remix culture if you will. But I wouldn't be able to automatically recognize any of his beats or anything like that he would put out there. However, some of the more interesting topics that have come out after his passing is there's a new game called DJ Hero that's coming out. He is one of the playable characters within the game, and people are now calling for the people who create, certain people are calling for the people who create the game to actually pull his character because they don't want the game company profiting from his death. Now, that would be like telling a movie studio that they can't put out Heath Ledger's movies because he had passed away. So it's kind of ridiculous because he had already in his life he had already believed in the project enough that he wanted to actually be a part of it. So why wouldn't you keep that around? So that's just my two cents in there. I was curious as to what anybody else thought. All right, moving right along into the Geek Cruft section, we're going to spend a little bit more time on some of these stuff. Like Eve from WALL-E, La Petite Prince loves himself some plants. It's an interesting little concept for a robot that looks a little bit like a spider. So it's a round white sphere. Well, obviously it's a sphere, but I mean obviously it's round if it's a sphere. But it actually has something sticking out the top of its head that looks a little bit like one of those gel cap pills, but inside you see a little plant. The object of this robot, the La Petite Prince, is a mobile plant-loving greenhouse. It allows the robot to go around, collect specimens of plants, care for them within its own little strange-shaped body, and then survey areas that would be good to plant these things in. So if you really wanted to kind of extrapolate out a little bit beyond this, you could say, okay, you could drop a colony of these things on another planet and just have it search out, you know, the appropriate situation for that plant to live in. I love that idea. I think that's fantastic. It does seem kind of creepy the way that it looks. It has like one giant eye right in the center of it. But who knows where it's going to go beyond this. I mean, obviously, you know, these kind of concept drawings are very, very loose. There's no plan to bring these things direct to market yet. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly where they end up. All right, next little thing, something that's near and dear to most of the people who listen to this show, or most of the people who submit content to this show, is Legos. So I'm pretty sure a lot of you would be interested to find out that there's going to be an MMO, a massive multiplayer online game based around the world of Legos. So it's going to be Lego Universe is what they're going to be calling it. There's two screenshots that have been released so far. Obviously, you get to make your own minifig. What I'm worried about with the gameplay, does this mean that the entire world is made up of Legos so that you could literally deconstruct and reconstruct the world to suit your crazy Lego-tastic needs? Or do you actually have to have like specific playgrounds? Because I think it would be perfect if the entirety of this thing was actually built out of bricks. I mean, certainly, even if you wanted to have it that certain bricks couldn't be moved, I don't think there should be a rounded or soft corner absolutely anywhere in this. I think if you can't build it based on little blocks and nubbins, then you probably shouldn't be able to do it in the game. So that's just my two cents on it. I think it has interesting potential. I tend to stay away from MMOs just because I would end up sinking most of my time into them, and I realize that well before this starts. So, alright, next little fun thing that we have up for you. I had this in the folder to talk about a couple times. It just keeps always getting pushed off. This is a new gadget that's being pushed out there to replace business cards. Business cards 2.0, 9.5, whatever you want to call them. And it's an interesting concept to say the least. What it is it's called a Pokin. It's an interesting little gadget. They have them actually like inserted into little character-like objects, or you can have it as a badge for a conference, which I think is actually a little bit better. So the conference would pay to have the Pokins, and then you could... It's a pointer. So whoever you meet, you can actually just put the two Pokins together. They would flash and have a little bit of a little conversation, and they would basically transfer the contact information from one to another. So that way, instead of handing a business card over, you were able to hand over a piece of a database to the other Pokin. I like this idea, and they say even if you haven't had a chance yet to set it up, it would still be a link back to that Pokin, so that by the time you plug the thing into your computer, your contacts would automatically update. That seems to be a really good idea. The only problem is the price point's a little high. They're saying it's like $50 or something like that. Or no, sorry, you had to buy 12 of them, so it was like $150 or something like that. And they weren't selling individual ones. So until they get to a price point where they're selling individual ones, and they didn't really talk about the price point for the conference badges, I don't really see it as replacing the business card. It might be a fad, and it looks a little bit more like the QCAT from Wired's early days, which is a peripheral that they released, which is a horrible peripheral, and I still can't find mine, that was designed entirely to bring the magazine to life. So you're supposed to use this computer gadget to plug in and actually scan little barcodes at the bottom of the ad, and it would take you to the website as opposed to just typing the URL in. It seemed like a bad idea at the time, and it never even really came to fruition, because even though I had it, I never installed the software for it, and I never actually went the extra mile to actually looking for the little thing. So who knows exactly where it's going. But all right, now the next little thing we have up for you here is just kind of a little pop culture jam. It's MC Hammer Zombies. That's basically all you really need to know. There's a new game coming out that is called Zombie Apocalypse. It's a top-down shooter coming to PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. So basically, it's a little throwaway game. You know, you can kind of in the style of the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And apparently, if you rack up a certain number of kills in a row without getting hit or killed yourself, you actually unlock an achievement that's entitled Can't Touch This, because you know you're a big shot, there's no doubt, light a fire and it out. So I thought it was pretty funny. I just had to pass it along, because you'd just hope that if MC Hammer was going to somehow work his way into a video game, it would be in some kind of achievement like that, because that's pretty much all it speaks to. I mean, I know he's a reverend now, and I know he's a very successful video blogger, but it's just kind of funny to see that little piece of pop culture rear its head once in a while. Alright, moving right along, speaking to another little piece of pop culture that always seems to rear its head, NES cartridges are used as an external hard drive. This, my friends, is awesome stuff. I gotta tell you, I did not think that this would ever happen, that you would actually be able to have like a stack of NES cartridges on your desk and have them as anything other than NES cartridges. I've seen them at every implementation of a different version for what these things could be has always seemed to be lacking a little bit, but these are relatively spot on. So you would get your own Super Mario Brothers, you get your own Duck Hunt, whatever it is. You pay $120 for a 250 gigabyte hard drive. It's completely bus powered, so you don't need a little external power brick or something like that. This is fantastic. I mean, this is a great use. But apparently the standard is $120 for 250. This is just a great great little piece of equipment going on here. I'd like to see more games being offered or more things being pushed out there. All right, next little thing we have up for you. You've heard of the term, hopefully, brute force hacking a password. It's basically where you just try and go through all possible derivations and combinations of different characters and letters until they actually come to your password. So if there was a system that had a 6 to 8 character limit for your password, as one that I previously used to use did, then they would just basically say, okay, fine, for the first password we're going to try AAAAAA or 000000 or something like that. And then the next one would be one increment up. So it would be, you know, one. Then there's the brute force dictionary hack, where they would just go through a whole bunch of different and common dictionary words and trying to find your password. So this is relatively common knowledge in the security field. So, like, this is how certain things have attempted in the past to gain access to accounts. There's a couple different ways you can fight this. First of all, don't use something that's a common dictionary word, but I mean, the other thing is that systems that accept passwords for logins and authentication actually time out after a certain number of things, where they will actually lock your account out after you try like 5 or 6 times. So you can't really brute force when that happens. So there has to be other ways of doing it. But you still can brute force some other things. And you can actually use Legos to do it, apparently. I don't understand the entirety of what this robot is doing, but there's somebody actually used a Lego NXT controlled series of parts to attempt to hack a 2 gigabit iPod. So apparently, if you hold down 3 keys on the iPod, I think it's like the center button, up, and left at the same time, then you actually restart the iPod and you attempt to start it into service mode. While the thing is in service mode, there is a, while the thing is doing whatever it is that it's supposed to be doing, there's a glitch in the programming that allows you to attempt to execute arbitrary code. The only problem is there's so many different combinations of codes that you could put in there in order to break the system down. So the idea is people are trying to install Linux because they can onto an iPod, and they have to literally brute force the thing and go through every different possible permutation of code to try and do it. I think it's just like a simple addressing scheme. So it's like a hex code, or it's like a series of alphanumeric characters that link directly to a certain part of the memory addressed inside the iPod. So in order to do this a little bit more efficiently, they basically built a robot that is capable of attempting 23,000 addresses a day without stopping. That is fantastic. That is unbelievable and cool, and I really hope that the guys over at Linux for Nano actually get it up and running, because I have an old Nano that I'd like to see if I could run Linux on. Don't know what I would do with Linux on the Nano yet, but it would just be kind of fun to see there. So I'm not going to update the software on that one until I find out how they're doing. But so I just wanted to pass it along, because Legos actually can do some useful things, and I thought it was pretty cool to pass on. Alright, next little thing we have up for you here is New York City to commission bike helmets that don't look horrible. I don't know why nobody's done this before, but one of the reasons that people hate wearing bike helmets, and I know there's a lot of bike enthusiasts out there, is the helmets really... You either had the old horrible ones that look like a mushroom head on top of your dome there, or you have the new ones that look like you're a skate rat. And, you know, 6 of 1, half a dozen of another, I mean, safety's safety. And I know a lot of people out there who look incredibly poorly on people who don't use helmets. I, unfortunately, am usually one of them. I'm not really good about wearing the helmet unless I'm doing something that I think is dangerous. So if I'm going to be riding through heavy traffic, yeah, sure, I'll put a helmet on. If I'm going to be going through the woods and kind of, you know, go off-roading it or something like that, yes, I will use a helmet. If I'm just going down to, you know, the pizza place or something like that, I'm not. And that's probably very poor on my part. So an attempted redesign of the bike helmet, you know, have a little bit of a cloth extra piece on it or something like that to kind of hide the life-saving capacities of it. It would probably go a long way to getting people like myself and other such, I guess, vain people into actually doing something about it. So I wanted to just pass it along. Because hopefully, there's no word yet on when you would actually be able to buy one of those, but I just wanted to pass it along in case anybody thought they were interesting. All right. Next little thing, we have two little things here to kind of round out the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. First thing is Google as a roommate. It's a funny video about what it would be like if Google personified was actually, jumbled into like a Three's Company style roommate situation. So two guys end up having to live with a Google, and he takes pictures of absolutely everything. He tells them what they might need, when they're going to run out of certain things. It's pretty funny, and it's kind of a very real reminder about the invasiveness and the pervasiveness of Google's reach at this point. So, I mean, just take one Google-free day. See exactly what I mean. Just take one day where you're not going to do any searching by Google and see exactly how many things within your life cycle end up going back to Google as a source. So it's kind of scary when you really think about it. You kind of hope that don't be evil thing really sticks through for them. All right, and then the next little thing, I can't remember if I put this up there before, but I love watching TED Talks, and I don't know if you've seen this one before, but Zay Frank had a TED Talk from back in 2004. Zay Frank is an internet experimenter, I guess you could say. He travels through the web, releasing different little web toys, as he calls them. He was made immensely popular back in 2001 when he released an internet meme, which was not supposed to be an internet meme. Which is always the best kind. He basically released a little web page that said how to dance properly, and you could click on different buttons and see him dancing incredibly badly in each one. And each one of the moves was labeled like the Baby Maker or something like that, or Ride the Pony or something like that, old school, new school. And it's kind of funny, and it kind of started a lot of different copycat sites at the time, but it also launched Zay's career into interesting thought processes, I guess you could say, and just a little bit of a peek inside the man's mind. He's also really funny to boot, so I just wanted to share it with you. It's roughly 20 minutes long, so in case you have a chance, you can head over there and actually check it out. All right, and that about wraps up the Geek Cruft section here at the podcast. We're going to be moving on to the food and caffeinated bits here. Just one quick little mention. We are a member of the Tech Podcast Network. I don't remember if I said it right up front, so I guess I'll say it now. So if anything else for techie love and fun, head on over to www.techpodcasts.com. If it's tech, it's here. It's all child safe, family friendly, and educational, so it's a great listing of shows over there to head out and try. If you're looking to comment, feedback, suggestion, anything else on this one, you can either become a friend of the Caffeination, or you can email me, caffeination@gmail.com. And last little blip here, we are trying to reboot the mailing list. There's so many things that were wrong with it and so many bad addresses that were on it, so I'm highly suggesting that if you like the mailing list, if you like receiving notification every time we post an episode, something like that, head on over to caffeination.com and fill your email address out in the mailing list. It allows you to kind of fine-tune what notifications you'll receive. For instance, default is you just receive notifications when a new post is put up that's labeled as a podcast. If that's not the case and you want to find out whenever I put anything up there, like a new page, a new this, a new that, that's available as well, but the default option is just for podcasts. So it's a easier way to hopefully navigate through the site. All right, and the next little thing, we're going to be moving on into the food and caffeinated bits, as we said. This is kind of a carryover from the last show because I didn't have enough time because I like to babble. As a coffee guy, this article has good and bad points, but you have to really consider the source. This is kind of like a freelance, shoot-from-the-hip kind of thing from over at Gizmodo because they had the taste test series where they're running all about food and food tech. Yeah, I know that there's shows out there that do that. We try to do that, but they had some just neat and interesting stuff. The editor over there actually talks about how you're actually supposed to make coffee. They go through the beans, the grinding, then the different possible ways to brew it. For instance, the Chemex, French press, vacuum pot, mocha pot, cold brew, AeroPress, drip, and espresso, and clover. So you can get, there's a lot of interesting little pieces of interesting little pieces of information strewn about there. The only thing you have to kind of do is kind of gloss over the overly judgmental things. I don't care how you enjoy your coffee. I'd like you to enjoy good coffee. I don't think that it's bad if you enjoy coffee that's a certain way. I mean, if there are people out there who absolutely swear by Folgers, I love Chock Full of Nuts. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm not going to say I would pass up a lovely cup of home-roasted Sumatran for Chock Full of Nuts, but I'm saying that Chock Full of Nuts is what I drink in work because that's just how I roll, and that's what I like to have. So that's how I go. And there's some discussion about how you're supposed to store the beans. We've talked about that before. There's some discussion about how you're supposed to grind the beans. And the problem with putting this kind of informational piece out there is that you really kind of turn off a lot of the neophytes. You really turn off the people who really are just getting started, and they're saying, okay, you know, what kind of grinder do I need? So I want to move from, you know, pre-ground coffee, or God forbid, store ground coffee. That's the only place where I will really judge somebody. If you're going to put the coffee beans through a grinder in the store, you're basically tasting whatever coffee any that has gone through that before. So that being said, anything else is perfectly copacetic with me. Up front, the grinder, they talk about, you know, you can't use a blade grinder. That's what heathens basically use. You know, that's a horrible way to grind your coffee. I'm telling you right now that if you are drinking regular pre-ground coffee and you switch to whole bean coffee and you buy a $9 blade grinder from the supermarket, or, you know, it might be up to $15 now, you will taste a huge difference. If you're using a drip coffee maker, it's not going to matter whether or not you have a blade grinder or a burr grinder. Does that mean that if you have a blade grinder, you'll never be able to make an espresso? No, that doesn't. So, I mean, you have to kind of consider the source and walk past the snootery, and they actually have some interesting little bits over there. So, all right, and then the next little article, also from Giz, because they had so many fantastic things. This is an age-old patent from 1932. So, yeah, of course, it's not yet public domain because, you know, hey, it's 1932. This is a device that looks a little bit like a caulk gun that's designed to insert ice cream into bananas. This is quite possible the best thing since bacon-wrapped bacon. I love bacon, but, I mean, if you're going to put ice cream into fruit, that's just fantastic. I don't even know how you could kind of wrap your head around that. I would like to see somebody actually make one of these, or maybe even just use a regular caulk gun somehow to squirt ice cream into other foods. That would be beautiful. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was fantastic. Moving right along, the next little thing we have for you here is a Warhammer cake bites into the Food Network, as the title says over at Joystick. This is a very recent episode of the Ace of Cakes with Duff from Maryland, who just does some crazy off-the-wall cakes. Sometimes they get really like dead-on representations of what they're supposed to be doing. And most of the time it's kind of like a rounded, kind of cornered-off thing. But I mean, hey, they're doing it in cake. You kind of have to take what you're given there. However, they were commissioned to do a piece based on Warhammer Online. And one of the characters within Warhammer Online is actually a giant squig. And they have this two-footed giant mawed beast that they said the cake itself is actually roughly the size of a sheepdog. It weighs a ton. So there's a beautiful picture up there, so you can actually head on over to that, check it out, and then you can follow and click through to the Ace of Cakes. Next little thing we have up for you here via our friend Weekly Roast over twitter.com/weeklyroast, a fine roaster who over at weeklyroast.com, you can find all the products over there. Well, he recently posted a story up there that says top 5 worst coffees for you. Now, these are not worst coffees like worst tasting coffees on the planet. These are the top 5 drinks that are currently out there that are the worst thing for you. The worst coffee on the go is a McDonald's large mocha. It's 400 calories with 14 grams of fat, 49 grams of sugar. They're saying that's the caloric equivalent of 6 fudge sickle bars. Next up, they have worst hot coffee drinks is a Starbucks venti white chocolate mocha, 580 calories with 22 grams of fat, 75 grams of sugar. They said that's 6 tablespoons of fat-free mayonnaise. So if you just want to eat the mayonnaise without the egg salad part of it, you go for it. The worst frozen one's a large Dunkin' Donuts frozen cappuccino with whole milk, 610 calories, 8 grams of fat, 123 grams of carbs, 105 grams of sugar, and the worst summer treat. So the worst ice cream of the lot is Cold Stone Creamery Gotta Have It sized Lotta Caramel Ice Latte. It's a astounding 1,790 calories, 90 grams of fat, 57 of which are saturated, and 175 grams of sugar. The best part about this article isn't the fact that they put these like mind-boggling calorie things up there, but they actually say drink this instead, and they actually show you something that you can have, which is kind of like a replacement, which is close but not quite right. So they say instead of the Rockstar Original, you can try the Rockstar Coffee Plus Energy Light Vanilla Roasted, which is only 100 calories. You can try a large cappuccino, which is only 180, versus the McDonald's large mocha. Instead of the Starbucks Venti Big Sucker, you can get a Venti Caramel Cafe Misto, which is only 130 calories. That's just far too much stuff in there. And you can just head on over and check out the list yourself. But I thought it was pretty cool, so I wanted to pass it along to everybody. Next little thing we saw up there, I've seen this making the rounds a little bit, but apparently there's some tech out there that suggested that you actually clean the ends of your Ethernet cables with coffee filters. Now, I personally don't think that my Ethernet cables get dirty, but if you have a shoddy connection, rather than trying to remake the whole cable, yes, you can try and do it. But I would highly suggest that you keep a bunch of coffee filters around, especially if you have cameras or if you have eyeglasses or a scanner that you want to use. Why? Because coffee filters are lint-free. I use them in work on our $20,000 flatbed scanner. This thing is massive. It's the same kind of scanner that they use to scan documents in the university or in the Library of Congress. The thing is beautiful. However, with a lot of rough work, you kind of need to really take care of it and clean the glass quite often. So that being said, we use coffee filters because it's cheaper than buying those microfiber cloths whenever we have to. So I'm standing behind the lint-free coffee filter method for cleaning things. Alright, that about wraps it up for today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed what we had coming at you. Just remember, you can stop back in again on Thursday afternoon and get the next dose of the caffeination. Make sure you check back in a couple times this week as we release some of the articles. And head on over there to caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And you can join the mailing list. You can click up at the top and become a friend of the caffeination if you'd like to follow us that way. There's a whole huge host of things you can do over there. Or you could just cut out the middleman, send me an email at caffeination@gmail.com. I'd like to thank you ever so much for listening to this show, and stay caffeinated, people.